You're listening to a WebYeshiva.org podcast. Visit www.webyeshiva.org to take part in our fully interactive online yeshiva. Visit blog.webyeshiva.org for more free downloadable Torah content.
Hello, this is Ilana Goldstein-Sachs of Web Yeshiva with this week's Trei Asar podcast. At the end of last week's podcast, we saw the pasuk from Perek Bet, Pasuk Tet, Ve'anochi hishmadeti et ha'amorim mipnechem, asher kegova arazim gavho v'chason hu ka'alonim, v'ashmid piryomi ma'al v'shorashav mitachat. Right, that I destroyed from before you the Emori, right, the people who were living in the land before you got there, right, who were big and strong, like trees, like strong trees, right? And I destroyed them completely. Their fruit as well as their roots, right? I completely uprooted these tremendously strong trees for you, right? Why? Because you came out of Mitzrayim and you were coming to conquer the land, right? V'anochi ha'aleti etchem me'eretz Mitzrayim va'olech etchem b'midbar 40 shana la'reshet et eretz ha'amori. Right? I took you out of Egypt and I led you around in the desert for 40 years so that you would then come in and conquer Eretz HaEmori. Right? This, these psukim remind us of the psukim from Perek Tedvav in the book of Bereshit where we read about Brit Ben Haptarim, where Hashem first mentions the idea to Abraham that his descendants are going to go down to a strange land, right, which we know is Mitzrayim, but it is not mentioned explicitly there, and they're going to become slaves there for 400 years, and then the fourth generation is going to come back to the land, right? Ger yadoa teida ki ger yihyeh zarecha be'eretz lo lahem va'avadum v'inu otam arba me'ot shana. Right, they're going to be slaves there for 400 years, and then later on it says, "Vidor rivi'i yashuvu hena, ki lo shalem avon ha'emori ad hena." Right, the fourth generation will come back to the land because the sin of the Emori, right, the people living in the land, the same Emori that we read about in Perek Bet of Amos. The sin of the Emori is not yet complete, meaning, why is Hashem able, so to speak, to uproot the Emori from the land? Because they're no longer worthy of living there. Their sin is so great that Hashem uproots them from there, and then Bnei Israel are able to take the land, are able to conquer the land from them. The commentary of Amos on this idea from Brit Ben Haptarim continues in the psukim that come after what I just read in pasuk Yud Aleph, right? So va'akim ibnechem le'nevi'im u'bechorechem le'nezirim. We saw this last time. Ha'af ein zot bnei Israel nu'um Hashem, right? You conquer the land from the Emorah. I help you conquer the land, and I give you nevi'im and I give you nezirim. Right, those who are supposed to teach you. Right, we saw this last time. V'tashku et ha'nezirim yayin v'al ha'nevi'im tzivitem le'mor lo tinabu. Right, and therefore Amos says, in the name of Hashem, you are going to be punished. Right, the idea being, you were given the land in place of the Emori because you were going to live a certain type of existence. You were chosen to be my nation, Hashem says, in order that you behave a certain way. And if you do not behave that way, right, then you are no longer worthy of getting what I have given you, right? Meaning of living in the land which was given over for you, instead of the Emori who had it before you and who they were kicked out because they were no longer worthy. Meaning, we inherit the land from the Emori. Because we are expected to behave a certain way, and if we don't do so, then we are no different than they are, and we too will be punished just like the Emori were when they no longer were deemed worthy to be in the land. Right? And that is That is what Amos is saying here at the end of Perek Bet, right? With this reference to Brit Ben Habtarim. This idea continues into the next Perek, right? Starting with Perek Gimel Pasuk Aleph. Shim'u et ha-davar hazeh asher diber Hashem aleichem b'nei Yisrael. Al kol ha-mishpacha asher he'eleti me'eretz Mitzrayim le'mor. Right, so once again, Hashem here is addressing B'nai Israel. Which B'nai Israel, as if we didn't know? Al kol ha-mishpacha asher he'eleti me'eretz Mitzrayim. The ones who I took out of Egypt, right? The ones who I just mentioned at the end of Perek Bet, right? Who I took out of Egypt and helped give them the land, right? Because, again, they were going to act a certain way, right? That B'nai Israel, right? Hashem is saying here. Rak etchem yadati mikol mishpachot ha'adama. Right? Only you I knew of all the different families, meaning all of the different nations of the earth. You were the one whom I knew. You were the one who I chose. You were the, quote, chosen people. Right? This sounds good, right? This sounds like, right, you have a, it sounds as if he's saying you have a special status because you have been chosen by Hashem. And in a sense, that is true. But the surprise comes at the end of Pasuk Bet. Alkein efkod alechem et kol avonotechem. Because you were chosen, because I knew you of all the nations of the world, right? So, dafka, you will be punished even more because of your sins, right? With chosenness comes great responsibility. To paraphrase a different quote, chosenness is not a privilege; it's something which obligates you, and that is the idea that Amos is trying to drum into the people's head. Now, this was a misconception that apparently was rampant during that time period. Right, in quite a few of the Nevi'im Rishonim, we see this idea that the people assumed that because they were Hashem's people, right, or because of the Mikdash was built in their midst, or other similar ideas, that nothing could happen to them. They were untouchable, right? The famous Nevuah of Yirmiyahu, where he points to the Beit HaMikdash, and he says, "Don't listen to those Nevi'im who say, after all, this is the Beit HaMikdash. Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem Hema." Right? Hashem would never destroy his own Heichal. Right? And Yirmiyahu says that's ridiculous. Of course Hashem will. If the people sin, then the Beit HaMikdash has no meaning. It's only meaningful if the people use it to really have Hashem in their midst. That is the idea here that Amos is trying to drive home to the people. We saw a similar idea already in an earlier podcast in the Book of Amos, where Amos says, "Hoy hamitavim la'am le'yom Hashem," right? "Oy vavoy," to those people who are waiting for Yom Hashem, you know, Yom Hashem being like the Day of Judgment, right? Why hoy? Because they assume that Yom Hashem means the day that Hashem rewards Am Yisrael and punishes Am Yisrael's enemies. And Amos says, no, Yom Hashem is the day where Hashem rewards the just and punishes the wicked. And therefore, if you're wicked, regardless of whether you're from Am Yisrael or not, you will be punished. Right? Again, the mistaken idea being that just being Am Hashem isn't going to save you if you don't act like Am Hashem. Another interesting thing with these two first psukim from Perek Gimel is that we see once again Amos's attempt to kind of rope the people into listening him. Right? We saw that a few other times in the Book of Amos, where he kind of almost tricks the people into listening to what he has to tell them, because after all, they're not very interested in hearing his ideas, which aren't very complimentary after all. So he starts by almost sounding like he is complimenting them. Shimu et devar Hashem, Shimu et devar hazer, asher diber Hashem aleichem b'nei Yisrael, al ha-mishpacha asher he'eleti me'eretz Mitzrayim, rak etchem yadati mikol mishpachot ha'adama. Right? It sounds like he's saying good things about them, and then he quickly twists it, al kein efkod aleichem akol avonotechem. Right? Haha, and because you're you are the one that I chose because you're the one I knew from all of the nations of the earth. You are the one who are going to be punished, right? So again, quickly grabbing their attention, and then quickly switching and telling them that which they were not interested in hearing. It's interesting that we see this idea appear yet again later on in the book of Amos, in Perek Tet Pasuk Zayin, where once again we see this idea that Hashem is saying to the people, don't assume that you are so great. Don't assume that your status as Am Yisrael, as Hashem's chosen people, is going to save you if you're not acting the way that you need to be. So again, in Perek Tet Pasuk Zayin, it says, "Halo chivnei chushim atem li bnei Yisrael nu'um Hashem." Right, you bnei Yisrael are like v'nei kushim to me. Right, you are just like some other nation. "Halo et Yisrael heleti meretz Mitzrayim." Right, I took you out of Mitzrayim. "Uflishtim mikaftor va'aram mikir." Right, but I also did similar things with other nations. Right, again, Amos is saying, don't think that you are so special, right? Don't think that you are immune to punishment, that you are immune to paying for your actions because you're Am Hashem. Yes, I took you out of Mitzrayim, but I also took the Plishtim out of Kaftor, and I took Aram from Kir, right? All sorts of things, moving around of nations has occurred in the course of history. Don't think that you are so special. The fact that this idea repeats over and over and over again within the book of Amos and also in other places in Nevi'im Rishonim, I think, points to the fact, to the degree to which the people really misunderstood what being an Am Segula is all about, right? What does it mean to be the nation that Hashem has chosen? And if I might throw in my commentary at the moment, I think this is a mistake that some people make to this very day, right? That somehow the Jewish people is immune from needing to take responsibility for certain types of actions because they are the Jewish people. And this is an idea that was mistaken back then and is an idea which continues to be mistaken now. And the idea that that repeats throughout all of these places where this misconception is mentioned in various parts of Nevi'im Rishonim is, in Nevi'im Achronim, is this idea that the people would misbehave, particularly emphasizes the idea that they would misbehave bin adam l'chaveiro. They would do all sorts of terrible things one to another, murder, oppression of the poor, etc., etc., etc. And then they would turn around and they would bring a korban, right? Hence, in the Yirmiyahu, the connection to the Beit HaMikdash. This comes up, but the connection to the korbanot also comes up in Yishayahu and also comes up, as we've seen, in Amos. They would turn around, do some sort of ritual sacrifice, and assume that everything would be okay. Right? Again, the idea being that the purpose of the Mikdash is to give them an easy way to undo these terrible things that they've done. And if they have this Mikdash in their midst, then everything will be okay. And that was a mistake that was, you know, like I mentioned, spread throughout this time period. And a mistake which unfortunately seems to have led to the destruction of Beit HaMikdash HaRishon. This idea seems to be alluded to later on during the time of Zechariah, right? Zechariah is prophesying during the time of Bayit Sheni, right? During the time of Shivat Zion, when part of Am Yisrael has returned to Eretz Yisrael. And in Perek Zayin, right, there's the story of when the people come from the Galut and come to Zechariah and ask if they have to continue with the fast days which were started because of the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash. And Zechariah mentions there, you know, he's almost making fun of them. Right, you know, do whatever you want, he basically says to them. Again, this is in Perek Zayin of Zechariah. Do whatever you want. Right? He says, "V'chi tochlu v'chi teshdu hale otem ochlim v'atem shotim." Drink, don't drink. He's basically saying to them, it doesn't really matter. Hallo et hadvarim asher kara Hashem biyad hanavim harishonim biyot Yerushalayim yoshevet ushleva va'areh asfivoteha v'hanegev v'hashvila yoshev. Right? He says this is the same issue that was said by the Nevi'im Rishonim, meaning from the Nevi'im from the time of Bayit Rishon, right, which were what? Then he continues, Vayhi dvar Hashem azecharya lemor, ko amar Hashem tzvaot lemor, mishpat emet shvotu, v'chesed v'rachamim asu ish et achiv, v'almana v'yatom ger v'ani al ta'ashoku, v'ra'at ish achiv al tachshivu bilvavchem, right? V'yima'anu lakshiv. V'yima'anu lakshiv, v'yitnu chatef soraret, v'oznehem hichpidu mishmoa, right? V'libam shamu shamir mishmoa et ha-Torah ve'et ha-dvarim asher shalach Hashem tzvaot b'ruchu b'yad ha-Nevi'im ha-Rishonim. V'yihi ketzef gadol me'et Hashem tzvaot. Right? The Nevi'im ha-Rishonim, meaning from the time of Bayit Rishon, endlessly told the people, you have to be just, and you have to treat the poor kindly, and you have to be nice one to the other, and you have to help the widow and the orphan and the stranger and the poor. Right? This is what you should be doing. Right? And throughout the time of Bayit Rishon, Zechariah says, you know, with his hindsight, they didn't listen, and they didn't listen, and they didn't listen again. Right? And that, so now he's saying, basically, in response to these people who come to ask about the fast days, forget about the fast days, right? Obviously, it matters. We still do these fasts to this very day. But he's saying that those things are secondary. Fasting, mourning for the temple, is secondary, right? Mourning for the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash is important, but it's not the critical thing. The critical thing is that you have to act appropriately, right? And that is the message that needs to be taken from the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash, not whether or not you should be fasting on those days or not. Right? And all of that, which the Zechariah says, is in response to the same exact thing. He himself says that it was said by the earlier Nevi'im. And here in Amos, we see one of the examples of this, where Amos is saying to the people, in this particular parak, he's speaking less about the Mikdash, although we did see him speaking about the Korbanot earlier, but the same idea, here he's talking about the chosenness of the people, but it's all connected with the fact that we had the Beit HaMikdash, right? That is not the ikar, right? The fact that we are chosen is not what is important, but rather what we do with our chosenness, right? Being chosen, he says, is a responsibility to act a certain way, not a privilege which allows us to get away with acting inappropriately. In the next podcast, we will continue with the next part of the Book of Amos, the continuation of Perek Gimel.